Well, brethren, I hope this sermon is beneficial to you because, as you can see, everybody went to a great Dale Prince and Mr. Johnson went to a great deal of trouble to put me down here. So I appreciate that part of it. Guess what I did yesterday? I went out and bought matzos. Now we are anticipating the days of unleavened bread and the first holy days, and that will be coming up in just a few weeks. And so I actually misread something and had it on my calendar for a couple of weeks from now. So I thought I better give this. But anyway, this is in preparation for the days of unleavened bread. I think most, if not all of us, are familiar with that. We de-leaven our homes and our cars and sometimes our clothing and other things, and we eat unleavened bread, which is, in this case, matzos. Now, some of you may make your own. I'm not that good a cook. I don't know really how to do that, but I like matzos the way they come in the package. And by the way, if you need matzos and can't find them anywhere else, I noticed the, what's the name of the supermarkets? But anyway, there's a few of them around. Why can't I remember that? Huh? Cut? No, well, maybe they've, huh?
Price Cutter?
You starts with an H.
Ivy.
No, no.
Harder House,
that's the ones, yeah. So yesterday I remembered that if nobody else has them, a lot of places don't. Harder House always had them, and I had my car being serviced right next door to a Harder House, so on the way back I stopped and I got matzos. So in that sense, I'm ready for the days of unleavened bread and the Passover. But there's something even more important, more spiritual, that we need to be doing now. And that is, we need to examine ourselves. We're told that. Many of you have heard that before. And of course, many of you are familiar with the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we'll begin there. And it said, as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And that's a part of the Passover service that we will be observing at the American Legion Hall at the beginning of the Days of Unleavened Bread. Actually, the Days of Unleavened Bread begin 24 hours later, but we do have the Passover. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So that's a pretty serious thing. We need to be worthy. And then in verse 28 it says, but let a man, we could say a woman, examine himself or herself, and let him eat this bread and drink this cup. So we are to examine ourselves and do it honestly and do it openly to ourselves. This is sort of an internal sermon, looking at yourself and examining yourself. For he that eats and drinks this unworthily drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we need to judge ourselves. We need to look at what we are, what we think, what we do, what we say, and seek to be in line with what Jesus Christ was, is, and wants us to be. So how do we examine ourselves? And I've got 3 points. And the first is to measure ourselves. I use the word measure. John 14 and verse 15, John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do you show your love for God? By keeping his commandments. And we can find a lot of religious types who will tell us that it's not necessary. Well, 9 of them are. But that one about Sabbath, well, you know, we can throw that away. That's done away. Well, it's not. So we need to keep the 10 commandments. He says, if you love me, we show that by keeping God's commandments. And turn to James 1 and verse 22. James 1 and verse 22, it says, be doers. Oh, that's for this. I thought that was a clock. Doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So There's a little, I think it's Nike has a logo. Just do it. So we need to do it, not just admit that it's a good idea. But I think there's a, well, there's a song in a Randy, a line in a Randy Travis song, but it's been said many times before that and since then, and that is, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, some people just, they have good intentions. But how do we define those intentions? We measure them. Again, James 1, verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any is a hearer of the word, and there are a lot of people that hear it, there are a lot of people that listen to our broadcasts and our telecasts. There are some people who come to church on occasion. But when you do it, if you're not a doer, you're like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. And whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty shall, let's see, where did I leave off? He beholds himself. He's looking at that glass. He's looking at that mirror and goes his way and straight forward forgets what manner of man he was. Sometimes we do that. We forget what we're capable. We're capable of thinking. You know, how many of you had a long, wrong thought this week or any time? But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deed. So if you hear the word, you hear the truth, you read the truth, and yet you need to practice it. It needs to be a part of your life, not just something you agree with, not just good intentions, but actually a part of your life. But that's what we measure ourselves by, the Ten Commandments. Are you perfect in keeping the Ten Commandments? I don't think, if we're honest with ourselves, if for nothing else, for just a moment, we may, you know, lose our temper about something or somebody. We may come to hate somebody. You know, God loves everybody. He's got a plan for everybody at one time or another, and we celebrate that in the fall holy days. But it says the perfect law of liberty. Perfect. The Greek word is telos. I hope I'm saying that right. Telos. Wanting nothing. It is complete. So God's word is complete. That law of liberty, that law we find in God's word is complete. It's perfect. We're not perfect in keeping it, but it's perfect in, you know, what it pretends, what it intends for us to do and be like. We should have a checklist. Do you have a little checklist maybe in your mind? And there's plenty of them in the Bible, plenty of them in Scripture. One would be Matthew 5. How many of you are familiar with Matthew 5? Again, I hate to say, well, we all know, because sometimes there are new people or there are people who, I think I know what that is. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 3, those are the Beatitudes. Does this describe you? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're not always like that. Sometimes we think we're pretty good, don't we? Individually, maybe as a nation or whatever, as a society, we're pretty good. And we can look around and we can see a lot of things that, well, Mr. Cook was mentioning the internet. You know, how it can, it's kind of good. You can call people, you can contact people. If you do it right, you don't have to interrupt them. You know, you can leave a message or whatever. And I'm old-fashioned, I guess. Sometimes I just want to talk to somebody. So I'll pick up my phone. Most of you have phones. Some of you have landline phones. We have that, and then I have my cell phone. So that's good. And then sometimes it backs up on us. You know, you can get a lot of junk on the internet. Google almost anything you want, and you will get an excuse for doing just about anything, or taking, you know, a certain political view or whatever. And I've heard some outrageous things. And again, I look at both ends of the hate spectrum, and one is I'm not as condemning, I guess, of some of the media as many people are, but there's one TV show that my wife likes to watch, and it's four women. And it started off, they had an introduction, they would say, here are four women with four points of view. And one of them was a conservative. She's gone now. That was until Donald Trump became president, and I think they stopped doing that, saying that. Now it's get Trump. And when Trump was out of office, they got, and some of these, their ideas are genuine, but it seems they're so hatred oriented toward people. And the next was Andrew Cuomo, you know, the former mayor of New York. They got after him. So we need to realize that we're not so good. Our society, though, although we have many benefits, many of you are well fed, all of you are, some are better than others. I used to be a lot better fed. I've lost about 50 pounds in the past 5 years. And I can bend over in the shower and wash my feet, which I could hardly even see before. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So every once in a while, and if you read the bulletin, we see reasons for mourning. And we can take comfort in the fact that if somebody died, God's going to deal with them. If they're being called now, they may be in the first resurrection, and we'll be together. You know, also, I think of the second resurrection, and some of the people we'll see there, like my old grandfather, like some people I think about often, who I would like to get another word in to. One was a guy I used to work with he used to use the word in lieu of, which meant in lieu of what's happening now. Whoa, that's wrong. In lieu means in absence of. He was trying to say in view of. I need to get, he's dead now, but when he resurrects, I'll say, by the way, going back to the English, in lieu of means in the absence of. And then there were other things he would say or do, and he was a fine man and an easy guy to work for. And other people that we know, relatives, we will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Are you meek? Do you look forward to inheriting the earth? Not so you can. I know in Spokesman's Club sometimes we get up and we talk about people we didn't like and God's gonna get them, or we'll be able to get them when we're resurrected and we'll show them. That's not what that's for. Are you meek? I hate to go astray again with my music. This is not a country song, but there was a Broadway show called Camelot. Many of you may have seen it. I think they made it into a movie, and there was an album, and there was a song on there called C'est moi, I think it's French. I hope I'm saying it right. And there was a line that said, it's not the earth the meek inherit, it's the dirt. So that was in contrary to what Scripture says. We, if we are meek, will eventually inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you study God's word and say, what am I going to see here today that's going to maybe make me change a little bit? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Are you merciful? You know, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Or do you have a Sabbath personality and then you go to work on Monday and you're the same old guy, same old lady, or you have a different personality, a different persona when you're out there in the world? And some people will notice you're a little bit different, but are you pure in heart? I like the term clear to the bone. Are you a Christian clear to the bone? No matter where you are, no matter who you're dealing with, and et cetera, et cetera. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Are you a peacemaker? Sometimes we're not. I mean, I remember back in the 60s when I first came into the church, it seemed it was a sort of a neat thing to, you know, to flaunt what we know and challenge people's faith, et cetera, et cetera. There's an article that Mr. Chris Rowland wrote to the, I don't know if everybody has access to it, but it was about ABC and studying comparative religion and knowing how to approach people who don't believe like we believe. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And there may be at some point or another in some way that affects all of us. How many of you have been persecuted? How many of you have lost jobs or not gotten a job because of the Sabbath or maybe other things? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many of you come from broken families? How many of you lost a relative that won't talk to you anymore or thinks you're a little weird because of what you believe? Those that are persecuted. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Oh, I love that. You know, don't you love it when you know people are talking maybe to your face or behind your back badly about you, against you falsely? Some say, for my sake, rejoice. Wait a minute. Should I rejoice when people don't like me? Should I rejoice when, you know, there's things I have to admit that I don't know? You know, and go back through these. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Now we can, I know it was fashionable back in the 60s to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know how many of you have. I read enough of it to know that I didn't want to read any more, because it's kind of grim. And it shows, and some of these people were probably back through the ages members of God's church who were tortured. I think one of the ones that I read about, and that's enough, how they were forced to swallow molten metal. What a way to die. And so be exceedingly glad when things like that happen. We will suffer persecution. We have, I think everybody here, suffered some form, however subtle, of persecution. You are the rejoice and be exceedingly great, for great is your reward in heaven, because they persecuted the prophets and the saints before you, before me. You are the salt of the earth. You've heard that expression. You're the salt of the earth. That applies to you, but if the salt has lost its savor, if you kind of fit in, I mean, there are areas where we can, but sometimes we're afraid to say something or we're afraid not to do something. I know people who've worked on the Sabbath because they didn't want to set a bad example for their family by losing their job. We can find all kinds of excuses. But so if we lose our saltiness, if we're not different, if we kind of fit in, wherein shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing. But to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. So are you salty as a Christian? I'm not a big salt fan. My wife and her family, boy, they salt everything. The only thing I like to salt is corn on the cob. And I don't know, I guess I could eat it without salt. But and it goes on in verse 14 here of this section of Matthew 5. You're the light of the world. That's not Matthew 5, I've lost. But you're the light of the world. Neither do men put a candle under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light to the whole house. Yeah, that's Matthew 5, 15. So do you? Are you a light? Are you seen? You know, or do you kind of hide it away? And there's times we just need to keep our mouth shut. There's things we need to keep to ourselves. I did admit that I went and bought matzos yesterday, but I won't admit to everything I did or said or thought during the past 24 hours. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. And there are good works that we do. There are things people see in us that they like. Again, we went back to the Poconos for the feast a few years ago. This is not back when we had a feast site there, but we did meet nearby. And a friend of mine and Sharon and myself went out to Mount Pocono, where the feast site used to be. It was near there. We were in a souvenir shop. And our friend saw a postcard at the checkout counter with a picture of the administration building on it, and told the lady there, well, that was us. We used to come up here for, you know, for a gathering every year. And she said, and we loved it. You people were so nice. Your children were particularly respectful. I don't think she saw my kids. But really, if you have kids, you know that they probably are most disrespectful around you, and not always other people. And anyway, They liked us because we brought a lot of money into the community. They hated us, not as much as people at Lake of the Ozarks had reason to, because we plugged up the highways. So are you a light? So he goes on to say in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law. Well, that's what people think, a lot of people. Well, he came to do away with that cruel law, that Sabbath stuff, and Passover, and days of unleavened bread, and all these other things the Jews used to keep. Well, Jesus Christ did too. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Do you, in your life, fulfill the law? Do you follow the law? Are you, you know, if you're not a thief, if you're not a murderer, if you're not covetous, although our society, boy, says you deserve a break today. I think that's a McDonald's commercial, but that's not much of a break. But every once in a while, I like to go to McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. But you deserve that. You deserve probably a better house than you're living in, a nicer car than what you have. You deserve, you deserve, you deserve. And we kind of take that seriously, and some of it results in covetousness. I don't know why I should not have this that that jerk over there has. He's not as good as I am. Turn to Galatians 5. Familiar scripture again for most of us. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22. And these are talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, and make a little checklist. I hope you can make some checklists with this and just go back over them from time to time and say, is this me? Is this what I am? Is this what people see? Is this what God really sees? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have love? Love for each other in the church. Love for the world itself. God so loved the world. Do we look out and say, see people who are maybe by their own doing, not doing well, and going astray? You know, do you really love them and look forward to the time when they'll know the truth and they'll be able to live in harmony with God's law as we do most of the time when we're at our best? Joy. Do you have joy when people see you to this, well, he's always so happy. He always seems so content. Now, that wasn't always the case in the church. I know a lot of people back again in the 60s, I think most of you probably weren't around yet, I don't know, but back then we were kind of down on everything, which maybe there wasn't much joy. We were known as, I think somebody used the term sundowners, because sundown Friday would keep the Sabbath, and sometimes we were looking forward to, which we are, in a positive way, the end of the age. So is that very joyous? Well, look beyond that. What does the end of the age mean? It's a joyous occasion. Peace. Do you promote peace? Are you somebody that stirs up arguments, gets people against one another, gets people to not like you? Long suffering. Wow. Are you patient? Or have you just had enough? I can look back again at the days of my youth and the trash, the stuff I used to watch on television. One of them was Hopalong Cassidy. Now, most of you probably don't remember Hopalong Cassidy, but legend was, or story was, that the way he got his name was he had gout. Now, this was not brought out in any of the movies, but I read it somewhere. He had gout, so he would kind of walk awkward and was called Hopalong Cassidy. Something that, you know, and every once in a while in the Hoppy, if you knew him well, he was Hoppy, in the movie, the decent town folk would get fed up. They had enough. And most of the Hopalong Cassidy movies, there was no musical soundtrack, but when they got fed up, there was one, and it was exciting, and they went out and got even, got the bad guys, you know, shot them, threw them off cliffs, all kinds of things. That's not long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering. We are not here to get even. Gentleness. I don't know if it's really manly to be gentle. I think it is. It's a manly trait, but a lot of people think, well, he's a wuss. You know, I think that's the term that's used today. I'm not up on all the terms. Or the abbreviations. Have you noticed the abbreviations we have? The BFF. your best friend forever. And I've, you know, I can keep up with some of the basic ones, but I saw one yesterday. I don't have a clue what it means. But you're probably like me. We're not quite in touch. You know, we think of cool as, my definition of cool was James Dean. That was in 1955. You know, gentleness, goodness, you know, doing the right thing no matter what, faith. You have faith no matter what happens. Do you look and say, God's going to have his way. God's going to bring his kingdom. I pray every day, thy kingdom come. I think you do too. And I think now that I have cancer, I think about dying. And I have faith that in that split second after I die, I'm going to be with God in his kingdom. And I think we all need to think that way. And I'm not, I just don't think a lot about it, but I do realize that I'm going to die. I thought I'd be dead by now, but I'm not, as you can see. But I try to reconcile with that. I talked to my buddy the other day in New York, and we grew up together, and he and his wife bought the family homestead on Sotus Bay, if any of you know where that is. And they live in that area where we kind of, much of us had, we grew up and we had adventures together. And we talked late into the night. It might have been 8 o'clock. Well, for him, it was 9 o'clock. But it was so nostalgic. And I thought, I'd like to go up there again. Maybe I'll go up and see him sometime. I don't know if I'll ever get to do that again. But I have to think, you know, having that that faith that God is going to have his way with me. And I'm going to wake up, well, I'm not going to wake up, but I'm going to be dead sometime. I told my wife and somebody else the other day, I want to die either in my lounge chair, my recliner, or in my bed at home. I may not have that privilege, but that would be the way I'd like to die. But whatever it is, God's going to have his way with me. Meekness, temperance. Do you have self-control? Are you somebody that blows their top every once in a while? I worked for a guy like that one time. And after a while, it was all right. He'd blow his top. Well, that's the way he is. Is that the way you are? Or do you have temperance? Against such, there is no law. Is God's spirit in you benefiting other people? Or is it just selfish? You know, peace. I want to be at peace. And to some people, that means going off and living in the wilderness and not having people around to bother you. But do you have peace? You know, does that benefit other people? Do you benefit other people? So the first thing is to measure what we should be. Measure the standards that God gives us in his word. And then part two is apply it. Do you apply it? Do you apply what you learn? Do you apply the Ten Commandments, or again, are they just good ideas? The road to hell is paved with good intention. We need to apply it. We need to make it a part of our life. Turn to Romans 2. Romans 2 and verse 13. Romans 2:13, not the hearers of the law will be just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In our relationship with God, is that true? Are we doers of the law? Luke 6, beginning in verse 46, Luke 6:46, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. So do we in our heart, are we a good person? Do we bring forth, share with others things that are good? An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. You know people like that. Maybe you've been a people like that at one time. People don't want to have you around. You know, you're a troublemaker. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And verse 46 of, why call you me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man that built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. What is your foundation? Is it something you're sure of? If it's something you practice, is it like a rock? Many of you are familiar with New York City, Manhattan Island, which is the center of the city. And if you look, you see all the skyscrapers. Well, why are there so many skyscrapers there? One reason is that Manhattan apparently is rock. It's a big rock. And when they sunk the foundation of these skyscrapers, they were on something solid. That's what I was told anyway. That's why Manhattan has all those things. For when the flood arose, the stream beats vehemently upon that house that's built on a rock, but cannot shake it. For it was founded on a rock. It was solid. But he that hears the word and does it not is like a man that builds his foundation upon the earth, which without foundation and on the earth and against a stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell because the ruin of that house was great. He built it on sand. You built it upon the earth, upon dirt. But is it built, is your foundation built on sand? Can you be changed in a negative way if you're in the right environment? You know, you go to work, well, I mean, I'm one way at church, but when I get back to work, I want to be one of the guys, you know, or one of the gals. And I don't want them to think I'm different. Well, if you follow God's law, you're going to be different. So, hopefully in a positive way. Hopefully people will see that. They'll say, well, I know he goes to that weird church, but he's a neat guy, and hopefully or a neat lady. We want to be founded on that rock, but he that hears the word and does it not, it's like a man whose house is built on the earth, like I say, on sand. God's law makes us spiritually sound. Spiritually sound. It's founded on a rock. Very basic scripture, I know, in Judaism as well, is Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and you shall love the Lord your God as much as you can. No, with all your heart. Is everything you do, everything you think, everything you say, built on your love for God, and all your soul and with all your might? Do you really, really mightily want to serve God no matter what's going on around you, in what you think, what you do, and what you say? And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Sometimes we say things that are stupid and we wish we hadn't said them. I remember when I was in the Army, I was in Korea, and we had a certain four-letter word we used for Asians. I won't repeat it, but some of you may know it. And I remember we got mail one day, and the mail clerk was handing out everybody's mail, and I opened the letter from what was not yet my wife, was going to be my wife, and he told me about a friend of ours who was in Okinawa and was seriously dating a Japanese girl. And I said, you mean he's going to marry a blank? And then I looked at the mail clerk, who was an American GI, but he was Japanese. So that would have applied to him too. And he gave me a dirty look, and it ended there. But I thought, I wish I hadn't said that, you know. And many of you have probably, I'm sure all of us at one point or another, have said something we just wish we hadn't said. But my bottom line question is, are we totally committed? Do we apply what we know? Romans 12:1. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and again, I can quote old bosses. One, if you did a really good job, he would say, you've gone over and above what's expected of you. As a Christian, can you go over and above what's expected of you? Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is over and above. No, that's not what it says. It says it's your reasonable service. It's our basic responsibility to give everything, even if that means dying, even if that means inconvenience, even if it means persecution, starvation, go ahead. So we need to measure ourselves, realize where we need to apply that in our life. And I hope as we go through this, you're making a little check mark in your checklist in your mind. And maybe as we talk about the fruits of the Spirit or the Beatitudes, you will say, oh, I'm not real good at that. And we'll seek to do better. And that's where part three comes in, which is plan. Do you plan to do these things, or do you just let life happen to you? And we see that with people in the church. Again, I had one church member who came over and did some work for me. He's no longer with us, at least not with United, but he was working on a shed I have in the backyard, and he was very good at that. And was talking to his wife on the phone and was using some language. He didn't know I was there. I walked back in the yard, and he was using some language that was totally inappropriate for a Christian. How about you? Do you have a Sabbath personality, a Sabbath vocabulary? And, you know, and sometimes that's good. I know my brother, who doesn't even know much at all about the church. We were having, I think it was back in 08 when the stock market was falling and everything else. I said, wow, this could be serious. It could be the end of the age. And he looked at me as if I had just grown a second head or something like that. He had not heard this. But anyway, we need to, in planning, we need to clean ourselves up between now and Passover. Where do we start? Matthew 6 and verse 2. No man can serve two masters, for he will either love the one and hate the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. Does that mean we can't be good employees? Does it mean we can't be respectful of people in our community who don't believe like us? No, it's a matter of priorities. Which comes first? So in our planning to examine ourselves and to change, time of change, to change who we are, and again, hopefully we all individually realize there's something we need to change. We need to realign our priorities. And again, choose to serve God above man, if it comes to that. James 1 and verse 22, James 1:22, be you doers of the word, and not hearers only. You know, you're hearing the word. You read the word in the Bible. Deceiving your own selves. If any is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that looks at himself in a glass, as we said earlier, beholds himself and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Do we remember what manner of man or woman we are? And are we, if we follow what we know is right, we'll be blessed, as it says in verse 25, and all of our deeds may not feel good at the time. In relationships within the church, that's one place where we can perhaps, is there somebody here you don't like? Is somebody here, as one person put it years ago, leading up to, is there somebody here whose feet you would not wash? Or you just don't, I just don't like so-and-so. You know, and I think about some of you like that once in a while, but I overcome it. So hopefully we're all on equal ground here. Do we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer of the, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. And then with our relationships in the church, John 13 and verse 34, and it says, a new commandment I will give you, that you love one another. This is talking to church members. This was Christ talking to his disciples. Do we love one another? And hopefully we do. As I have loved you, and also you should love one another. Do we love one another? And I've seen so many examples of that recently, more than others. There's one man in the church who calls me every week just to see how I'm doing. And that's fine. There's another man who lives 30 miles from me and comes into town once in a while and comes by to visit me. That means a lot. There's a little lady in the church who sends me a note just about every week or two just to see how I'm doing and just to put a little And I see that. And I see that in other times and other places. I remember years ago, I was at Spokesman's Club, and my wife called me. I don't know how she got it. It was before cell phones. And said, our daughter is stranded in Seymour and needs us to go pick her up. Her car broke down. And it was one she just bought from my boss. So, and she had gone somewhere way upstate, and it broke down, and she managed to get it glued together, but got to Seymour, and it gave up again. And so I drove out, picked her up, called a mechanic there, had them the next day or whenever they were going to tow it. They were going to fix it. They were going to call me when it was done. But anyway, I left Spokesman's Club. I didn't explain too much. I just said, I have to leave now. I'll see you all Sabbath or whatever. And then later, some people in the club, some people in the church found out what I had done. And they said, why didn't you tell us? We could have gone out and towed the car into Springfield. You know, why didn't you let us help? Well, I didn't want to inconvenience them. It was right in the middle of Spokesman's Club, etc. But many of you don't mind helping other people. And that's, again, I can think of individual, probably as I look around here, I can see some of you who have done that, if not for me, for somebody else who needs help. So we can do that. That way people know that you are my disciples, Christ said, if you love one another. That's a mark of you being a true Christian. Do you love the other people in this congregation? Maybe sometimes just don't seem worth it, you know. And there's a term, and I'm trying to think exactly where it was, just talks about loving the least of these, my brethren. Do you look at people and sometimes think, well, they ain't much good. They don't do much. They're the least of these, and Christ wants us to pay attention to them to fit their needs. So we can look around and we can do what we know is right based on you know, other people. We can help other people. Philippians 2 and verse 3, this deals with beyond the church and our own personal relationships. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as what? No, better than themselves. Do you look around and consider others' needs more than your own? Look every man on his own things, let not every man, but every man also on the things of others. Are we concerned about people who don't have maybe enough to eat? Are we concerned about the situation in Ukraine? You know, I've been one that says, hey, just because there was a murder on the north, it doesn't mean this is the end of the age. Just because this happens, look at Ukraine. Look at Russia. That's a real danger. That could be a real sign of the end. And, of course, COVID, although one person told me, well, that's just a hoax. That same person had COVID twice. I won't name him because he's not here. He's not in the church. But do we look on our own things or we look at others? Matthew 5 and verse 39. But I say to you that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. This isn't talking about your friends. This is talking about people probably outside the church or people who are hostile to you. If any man will sue you at law, take away your coat, let him take your cloak also. Well, that's, talk to your attorney about that. He's not going to, you know, I see all these attorney ads on television. He's not going to let that creep get away with that. Well, whosoever shall compel with you to go a mile, go with him too. Forgive him that asks, give to him that asks, and that would borrow of thee, and turn not away. Sometimes that's hard to do, particularly with panhandlers. Some of them I'm tempted to pull over, particularly if they say they're hungry, and say, hop in the car, I'm going to take you to McDonald's for lunch. I don't think many of them, if any, would go. Because they got a good corner there, and apparently that can be a fairly lucrative job. I don't know. But I know my wife, we were in Austin one time. We were walking down 6th Street or whatever it is where all the bars are. And some guy came up, a panhandler, and my wife gave him a couple of bucks. And he said to her, you've just assured your place in heaven. I'm not sure of that. But give to him that asks, and that him would borrow, turn not away. You have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, that's not scriptural, but that's what people, you know, you're supposed to hate your enemy. Some of you were in the service. I was in the service. I read a manual on hand-to-hand combat and how you can gouge a person's eyes out and other things that are something we wouldn't do today. I hope I would never do. But that's not because that's another human being. That's an objective. Do you love your enemy? Do you love people who don't love you? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you sometimes feel used? Looking back over my career, I, you know, managed to get ahead in this company I was in, and I had people, I barely got out of high school. I had people with advanced degrees who were working for me under my supervision. Bless them that curse you, et cetera, et cetera, and those that persecute you. They were using, the company was using me, I think, of some of the things I did. Mainly the all-night guy called in sick. I was in management. I wasn't supposed to do this. I was supposed to get some other, you know, lower level person to come in and fill in for it. I'd go do it myself. They were using me. And that's, to me, was my big advantage. I let myself be used. Those which, and that wasn't despiteful, despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain upon the just and the unjust, because if you love them which love you, so what? The publicans do the same. You have your good old boys club. Who's ever heard of that? You know, a bunch of guys get together and they benefit themselves and benefit one another. If you salute your brethren only, what more than others? The publicans do the same thing, the good old boys club. If therefore you would be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, you know, be perfect. We need to be, I'll take my matzos when I go. We need to start preparing. If you don't have matzos, I'm sure you can get them sometime between now and Passover in the days of unleavened bread. And again, I recommend Harder House because I've gone to places that don't have them, but they do. You got to look for them sometimes. But are we actively examining ourselves? Are we looking ourselves, looking at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word? Measuring ourselves against God's standards, not our own, not what other people say is, well, it's okay if you do that once. You know, you got to work on the Sabbath once in a while. You know, well, really? We can't look at our own standards or standards that other people put upon us. Look for ways to apply what we knew in our own lives or what we know and in a way that, in the way we treat others. Do we treat others as well as we should be? Should. Are we planning to make what we've found a positive part of our thinking and actions toward other people?